Well, family traditions are looked upon as those happy, warm, and fuzzy ideas. Yep, there are exceptions to every rule. My next guest with his new best-selling book puts the focus on one of those exceptions, the Bush family. Questionable and even dangerous acts by one person in the family could be dismissed as being committed by the so-called bad apple. Those acts span through the generations. Yes, you do have a trend. And when the perpetrators of that trend seek to seize and even attain power, you have a problem that only the facts can prevent. Here with those facts, as revealed in his book, Jeb! And the Bush crime family, inside story of an American dynasty, is a veteran of many political campaigns, including those of Ronald Reagan, Bob Dole, and Donald Trump. We say good morning to Roger Stone. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. Delighted to be with you.
StoneZone.com, that's Roger's website, daily blog there with a lot of insight into what is happening and, given his expertise, what is to be in the world of politics. Now, even though Jeb! Has turned into Jeb! Period, end of sentence, this is still a relevant book, Roger, because you just don't go into the depths of what Jeb! Is all about. You go to the roots of the whole family. Talk about what you wanted to present to the reader with Jeb! And the Bush crime family.
Well, and also, in all honesty, let's not pretend that the Bushes are finished in their lust for money and power. Jeb Bush is a young man. If you watch that Republican presidential debate, he had to be shaking his head saying, why did I ever get out of this race? And then you got George P. Bush, 39 years old, Texas Land Commissioner. He's standing in the wings, warming up his presidential campaign. So, there's a long family tradition. Of course, the point is that the Bushes are not who you think they are. They operate more like a mafia crime family. And as I demonstrate in the book, at every generation, starting at the very beginning, the money has come from illicit crime. It's come from family connections. It's come from shady business deals. It's come from business fraud. Old school ties, it's a life of privilege, of elitism. These people get away with things that you and I could never in a million years get away with. And I think we make a very comprehensive case while wrapping themselves in integrity in the flag and talking constantly about their patriotism and public service. What they've really done is serve themselves.
And it seems, too, the common thread between the generations is either by willing selection or by forced situation, they wind up going, being in cahoots with, well, everything from the Nazis into the formation of Planned Parenthood to radicals in South America to Saudi Arabia Kingdom, which are Saudi, we're learning Saudis are certainly not our friends in the world anymore.
Well, you start from the very beginning. Samuel Bush, who is the patriarch or the father, makes millions in the opium trade. That's the drug trade of its day. Also profiteers handsomely on World War One. Then, of course, there's Prescott Bush, U.S. Senator from Connecticut, later chairman of the Senate Banking Committee. At the same time, he owned a major interest in a bank in New York. That's a tough trick if you can do it.
Yeah.
But he makes the real family money as Hitler's banker. He and his partner, Roland Harriman, really are responsible for the financing of the armament of the Third Reich, of the Nazi war machine. In 1942, the federal government seizes their bank, Union Bank, for treasonous activity in their arming of the Nazis. They're so close to Hitler that they're given a special concession for a steel mill in Germany, which is incredibly profitable because it uses slave labor from Auschwitz. Prescott Bush was a very connected guy. Now, when the government seized his bank, under normal circumstances, you would have thought that he would have been prosecuted for treason. But there was no prosecution. You see, Prescott Bush went to the right schools. He knew the right guys. He moved in the right circles. This is a phenomena called elite deviance that is repeated over and over again in the book. Some people, some families really, so connected, so powerful, so wealthy, that they can break the law with impunity, or put more precisely, the law just doesn't apply for them. This also applies, interestingly enough, to Jeb Bush himself.
Right, Roger Stone is both Jeb and the Bush crime family, the inside story of an American dynasty, StoneZone.com, here on Issues and Ideas. And speaking of Jeb, as well as George W. in his pre-presidential days, I mean, obviously they're perceived as great, successful business people. Jeb was certainly one of those willing to take jabs at Donald Trump in the here and now as far as Trump's bankruptcy. But with that regard, with Jeb doing that, is that a situation of pot meet kettle?
Well, except for, see, Trump is a businessman, meaning he buys and builds businesses. He buys, builds, and then runs businesses, employs people, looks at a balance sheet. Jeb's not a businessman. He's never bought and run anything. He's a fixer. He's an influence peddler. Jeb may, from time to time, get a piece of the deal because of his last name. He never invests anything. But really, he basically uses his family circumstances. So, for example, as governor of Florida, he switches the management of the state pension fund over to Lehman Brothers. Then as soon as he leaves office, he goes to work for Lehman Brothers with a signing bonus of $1.3 million. While Lehman Brothers is running the state pension fund, Jeb has them load up on these toxic mortgage bank securities. The taxpayers of Florida, they lose $1 billion because of these fraudulent securities. At the same time, Jeb had the state load up on Enron while Enron was raising money for his brother's presidential campaign. They lose somewhere about $450 million in phony Enron stock. But Jeb emerges as a very, very wealthy man. Obama phones, Obamacare. Jeb made millions on both. So he is on the board of Tenet Healthcare, being paid over $1 million a year, and Tenet Healthcare takes off in its value because of its involvement with the Obamacare program. Or Obama phones, which you may be familiar with, the federal program that gives cell phones, millions of them, to poor people.
Oh, yeah.
That contract belongs to TracFone. TracFone is a company owned by the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim. Until recently by Jeb Bush. Now, that Jeb is very clever. Just before he became a candidate for president, he transferred the stock that he owned to his son. That way he could avoid having to report publicly that he was involved in the company and his financial disclosures involved with running for president. So my estimate is that Jeb went from zero before he was governor. He was put into some very choice real estate deals because of his last name. He went into the governorship probably worth $1 million or $2 million. He came out of the governorship worth about $33 million. And he didn't work, not even a day, for any of it. At the same time, Jeb got a $4 million personal taxpayer finance bailout when Daddy was vice president. He defrauded an SNL in South Florida out of $3.85 million. But at the end of the day, he was allowed to keep the $4 million building that he had used for collateral. And you and I, we picked up the tab for the $3.85 million that he defrauded on. He and his brother had the same kind of MO, his brother Neil Bush. This is pretty clever. You go to a bank, or in this case an SNL, you take out a fraudulent loan that you have no intention of ever honoring, of ever paying. Then you take the money from the loan, you short the stock of the bank, and then you default on your loans and you watch the bank fail. It's a killer. They made millions doing this, for example, at the Silverado Bank in Colorado under Neil, or Broward Savings and Loan in Fort Lauderdale under Jeb.
It is a family tradition. Wrapping our time with Roger Stone, Jeb and the Bush crime family, the inside story of an American dynasty. StoneZone.com is his website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas, and Roger does not leave Bush 41 out of the mix either. You'll read about how they really combined Bush 41 and 43, pretty much wiped out, speaking of savings and loans, but wiped out pretty much everything that Ronald Reagan assembled, put together, and re-strengthened. So you get that and a lot more in Jeb and the Bush crime family, the inside story of an American dynasty. Just want to wrap up last minute and change with you, Roger. As far as your analysis of what we see right now with the GOP primaries, it seems like the establishment, as I call them, the Bushlikins, are running out of ways to excuse or write off Donald Trump at this point. He seems to be, if it was anyone else right now, Trump, the candidate in the lead, would be the inevitable nominee. Not with Trump, though, according to the media and the Bushlikins.
I think this, the Republican establishment will fight Donald Trump right to the bitter end. I think that they will not throw in the towel, unlike with Reagan. Reagan, after he ran the table in the primaries, at a certain point, the establishment began to smell victory. The idea that Reagan just might beat Jimmy Carter became clear, so they, their price tag, of course, was George H.W. Bush on the ticket. That was the price of party peace. Even going into the convention, and I was at that convention working for Ronald Reagan as a senior aide, they tried to shove Gerald Ford down our throat as the vice president, probably the worst idea in American history, to a president and a former president dividing power. When Reagan heard that dividing power part, it appeared to him they were trying to take from him what he had won in the primaries, and he said, no dice. But unfortunately for us, he got George H.W. Bush, and what he got out of that was an attempt on his life only months later after he became president. In my book, as you know, I throw many connections between the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan and the Bush family, and I look at the way they acted previous, during, and immediately after the assassination attempt. Now the Bushes would like to politically assassinate Donald Trump. Let me assure you that they will do everything in their power to ensure that he's not the nominee. And if he is the nominee, you can look for Barbara Bush to be out campaigning for Hillary. Mm-hmm. After all, the Bushes and the Clintons have made millions together in shady business deals and shady nonprofits. There have been four, by the way, joint charitable activities between the Bush and the Clinton families. I have dissected and deconstructed those filings. Massive Ponzi schemes. Let's take the Bush-Clinton Haiti earthquake relief fund. They raised $138 million. They spent $10 million on the ground in Haiti. They pocketed between the two families $128 million.
Absolutely incredible. And for you listening, do a little homework before you read Roger's book, Jeb and the Bush Crime Family. Google GOP Convention Rule 40B, otherwise known as the Romney Rule. And Roger explains that as well as a lot more in his writings. And in Jeb and the Bush Crime Family, Inside Story of an American Dynasty, StoneZone.com is his website. Make it a favorite because he's got the truth, he's got the facts, he's not afraid to say it, no matter what the price happens to be. Roger Stone, another winning education, insightful, lightning book. Thanks for being here this morning.
You can get this book at rogerstone.com. Many, many thanks. I appreciate it.